If you would please to Exodus 31. So we'd like to move on in the study of Egypt to Canaan, particularly in this third section, this third movement of Egypt to Canaan, which is where we find the children of Israel in the Sinai wilderness. The law has been given, different aspects of the law, both the moral, such as the Ten Commandments, the civil aspect, where you see those details about everyday life, how to deal with issues. And now, beginning in chapter 25 of Exodus, most of the chapters to the end of Exodus, chapter 40, deal with the way of approach to God, the more of the worship, ceremonial aspect of the law. And thus we see details concerning the tabernacle. The early chapters, beginning in chapter 25 to 30, we see much about the articles of furniture and the instructions of how to prepare and build the tabernacle. Later we'll see how they do actually build this. And then we see how they will set it up. So it's like three different bites to it. It's kind of detail and then more detail and then more detail about the tabernacle. But here in chapter 31, now that the articles of furniture have been laid out and the coverings and the details about the high priest's garments, these things have already been dealt with. So in the first verses here of chapter 31, we think about some of those behind the scenes activities. Those that actually would be preparing the articles for this tabernacle. And by virtue of application for us in the New Testament, we think about what it says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, that we're workers together. And so if you're in the body of Christ, whatever background you have, whatever gifts and enablements God has given you, we all fit into the body of Christ and able to serve Him. We're workers together. And so I bring that to bear. You may be familiar with this text in some New Testament studies we've done together. We've probably alluded to this text before. But it's, to me, it's a tremendous reminder about how ones that, well, we don't really hear about normally. We're not talking about Levi and those of the priests and such. We're talking about ones that had more of a behind-the-scenes ministry and how important that is, that as we work and serve our Lord together, we realize whether we have something that's seen often or not in what we do in our service and ministry, it's important to the Lord. And it all works together in the service of the Lord. We see these two people's names, Bezalel and Aholiab. Bezalel is of the tribe of Judah, and Aholiab is of the tribe of Dan, instead of those from Levi. And so that's interesting. And we notice here, looking primarily at the first 11 verses. And so we notice the who, these men that have been named. Also in this text, we think a little bit about the how and the what that would be done. And by the way, when we look at Bezalel, his name, you may have it in the margin of your Bible. I find it interesting in the Old Testament to look up names of places and people's names and how the Hebrew meaning of their names, it just fits the context. How God allowed people to be given certain names or certain places, or if they'd build an altar or what have you, and there'd be the context would be revealed. That would be the backdrop of their names. And so Bezalel means in the shadow of God. You know, this is God's work. He's been telling the children of Israel about how they were to build this tabernacle. The beginning of the section, Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9, he said to build me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them, and to do it according to God's pattern. You see, it's God's work, so we must do it God's way. So we come to the New Testament, and he gives us instructions about how together as New Testament believers. We're to remember him. We're to teach the word. We're to have prayer. We're to fellowship together and such and so on. And the details are laid out in the New Testament about how we are together, beginning Acts 2 all the way to Revelation 3, much about the gathering of the Lord's people. You know, there's liberty in certain areas. I like to say, well, for example, you know, the Lord doesn't tell us what time on Sunday we have to meet. Some people break bread at 9, some at 9:15 places I go, some at 9:30, some at 10, some at 4 in the afternoon. So we have liberty in certain areas. But the bottom line is there are things that he tells us particularly to do one being, do this in remembrance of me. We come and we remember him. And of course, if time permitted, we could go through that large study in itself of the things concerning the New Testament gathering. But nonetheless, the point being is that whether it's the New Testament gathering or whether it's the Old Testament way of approach to God or the tabernacle, God says, do it according to my pattern. Come together, and as he told them, to build him a sanctuary that he might dwell among them. You know, as a New Testament believer, we don't have to have a specific building or place, but where we do gather, he says, where two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So as he was there, pictured in this tabernacle, there in the center, we know the Lord is here in the midst amongst the believers that come together in his name. What a privilege. And so notice here as we read verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. And so then it mentions the following verses, the things that were to be made. And we think of, as we've already noted on the tabernacle chart before us, the different articles of furniture, the garments of the priests, such as verse 10, and the sweet incense for the holy place, verse 11, and so on. And so we see, here are these men, that they were to prepare these different materials and articles for the service of the tabernacle. So there in verse 3, notice there, as we think of the how, to be filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge. That's a unique threefold manner, isn't it? You know, we turn to the New Testament, and let's just give you an example. You put a finger here, let's go to Ephesians. You can look at several of the Pauline epistles and how at the beginning of these letters, Paul, by the Spirit of God, would speak about how he was praying for the saints. That he was praying for their spiritual well-being. There's a pattern there. And of course, as you move on into each of these epistles, there's a certain theme. Corinthians, he's talking about the bird's eye view of the assembly. Colossians, he's talking about the preeminence of Christ. In Ephesians, he's talking about the body of Christ, the church and such. And so you see there's a context. But he begins writing to these different believers by telling how he's praying for them, for their spiritual well-being. So such as in Ephesians 1, we notice there's verse 16, and ceasing not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, notice here what we saw before, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him and the eyes of your understanding. And so you could compare this to different places, Colossians 1, Philippians 1 and such. You see this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Oh, by the Spirit of God, may we be filled with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so by having been saved, we have the Spirit of God living and abiding in us. And so as we yield to the Spirit of God, as we search the Word of God, Corinthians 2 tells us that the unsaved, the natural man, cannot discern the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. But we can know the mind of Christ. We can, as that text talks about, search the deep things of God. And so may God give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so, for those in the context of the tabernacle, here are these men that we don't hear about very often. Bezalel, speaking of how him and Aholiab, ones that could be filled with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. May it be so in our lives as well. And so, when we think of this, while we're in Ephesians, interesting, 5 and verse 18, here's a practical application. As he's dealing with the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, submitting to the head, the Lord Jesus, seen in the twin epistle of Colossians. And so here's some practical things. He says in 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, it's very practical. As a believer, there shouldn't be anything controlling us other than the Spirit of God. We shouldn't be controlled by some substance or whatever that's going to alter our thinking and our emotions. We need to be led by the Spirit, guided by the Lord. And so it's interesting, the following verses gets into praise through music and such. And there's a parallel passage in Colossians 3. If you compare these two passages, you see the emphasis on the Word of God and on the Spirit of God. And so, just by a side note there, when we think about singing unto the Lord, does it have good words? Are we being led of the Spirit? Are we following sound words? Well, anyway, having said that, here we go back to our text and think about, we'll come back to the New Testament, but we think about the how. These men were told that they needed to be filled with the Spirit of God, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In our text 31 of Exodus, verse 6, at the end of verse 6, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I've commanded thee. So God enables, God gives us the ability to serve, and so he puts, as it were, wisdom. He has enabled us in the New Testament realm. He has given us spiritual gifts. Every believer has spiritual enablements to serve in the body of Christ because the Spirit of God lives and abides in us now that we're born again. And so in the text before us, you might ask the question, what? Well, verse 3 and 5, it says, in all manner of workmanship. So we as believers, we're to occupy, we're to serve the Lord, be willing to execute the task that the Lord has before us in all manner of workmanship, to devise, verse 4, cunning works. So there's that sense of preparing, of planning. You know, we need to be devoted to the things of God. Again, we can put a finger here and go back to the New Testament. Let's look at an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sure you've noticed in your studies or in messages when people teach about the spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, the New Testament body of Christ. You have in Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, Romans 12, and Corinthians 12. Two chapter 4s, two chapter 12s is where we see listings and details about spiritual gifts and enablements. And so we're thinking about how those back in the days of the tabernacle, Bezalel, talking about devising cunning works, planning what needed to be done, carrying them out in all manner of workmanship. Let's think about us as believers. Corinthians 12, there in verse 4. Notice here where it speaks about the diversity that's dealt with in the body of Christ. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And so there are different spiritual gifts and enablements. As you go through this text, you go through the one I mentioned in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, you'll see different aspects of spiritual gifts and enablements. Some that we think of as far as those in administrations, or whether it's in teaching, or whether it's in evangelism, or different aspects there, exhortation. There's different types of spiritual gifts. But as we think here, there's a diversity of operations as well. As you think about different ways it can be carried out. You know, if someone is exercised, particularly in the gospel, there's various methods to share the gospel. Now, we're all told as believers to share the gospel, but some people take the lead in that area. They have giftedness in that area. And so there is a sense of how there's different methods, different operations. You can go door to door, you can pass out tracts, you can preach from a platform, you can get on the radio, you can talk to your neighbors, you can sit down with a group of your family members. There's all kinds of ways to share the gospel, different methods, different operations. The Lord can give us very creative ways to share the gospel, as that is one avenue of sharing in the gospel, and specifically if that's your spiritual gift. You might show others how to carry this out. And so we see how important it is that those seen and those maybe unseen function in the body of Christ together, workers together. So with that, we go back to our text, back to Exodus 31, and we notice here verse 6 is to make all. Down in verse 7 to 11, it enumerates, as we noted, the furniture and the cloth and the garments and the oil and so on. And so there's a great variety. There's various aspects of things that had to be done to prepare. And can you imagine all that had to be done, not only to build, but then to transport these parts of the tabernacle? They had that cloud that the scripture talks about that they followed. And when the Lord wanted them to move, they were to follow. And so they had, in certain ways, certain detail, such as you see how there's staves there for the brazen altar in the rings, and how they had those staves. In a similar way, the golden altar also had rings and staves on the inside there before the veil. And so they had to move them according to the way God instructed them. So the details of making and moving and, of course, carrying out the work of the tabernacle, the Lord instructed them. People had different roles in the worship of the Lord as far as carrying out the service of the tabernacle. And so with this, let's go a couple pages over. In Exodus, just fast forward here to chapter 35, as we see a little bit more. In chapter 35, on into the early verses of 36, let's begin there, 35 verse 30. And we'll see here it mentions these men again. See, the Lord hath called by the name of Bezalel, the son of Ur, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, and has devised curious works to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of the stones, and to set them in carvings of wood, and to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Now, notice here in verse 35 and 6, verse 35, them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer, in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen and of weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. And so we see that they were to be taught of God. Verse 34, and he hath put in his heart that he may teach. God was teaching these men. God was placing there what they needed to know. Are we of a willing heart that we are teachable, that we'll be teachable by the word of God, and by the being led of the Spirit, being taught of God? And so we've seen earlier in this section what to do and how to do, and such as that, having wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so we think about how Scripture tells us what to do. Giftedness shows us how to do it, perhaps, is a way of putting it, and we're able to carry it out. So there's offerings being made. If you move on into the next chapter, and we notice there these things, and the people were instructed there. The Lord's people doing the Lord's work. How important that is. That in the New Testament gathering, in the body of Christ, we're to do the Lord's work, the Lord's way. We don't need to go outside to the world and solicit from the world money and means and such and be unequally yoked. We trust the Lord. We work together. We're sharing the gospel for the lost and dying world. So we work together. I think about how in the rebuilding time of Ezra, when the adversaries and those that were trying to put a stop to them rebuilding the temple, one of their methods of adversarial role was they came in and they offered to help them. Oh, let us work with you. But thankfully, the leaders in that day said, oh no, we can't do that. We have to serve the Lord God's way, God's people doing God's work. And so as we we see these things. 35 verse 20, it mentions all the congregation whose heart was stirred up offered. In verse 25, the women spun. And so you think about, again, that revival time, Ezra and Nehemiah, one's working side by side, working together. So all the congregation, it speaks about aspects of what the women were doing and such. And so the saints together, as we think in New Testament language, is we work together. There they were in the Old Testament realm, working side by side, working together as God stirred up their hearts to provide for this tabernacle. So we see the record of the making of the tabernacle as you move into 36 to 39. And then in 40, you see setting it up. So in our last moments, I'll just bring to bear another interesting aspect. If you'll go with me, just perhaps as a future study, but in Numbers 4. In Numbers 4. Now here we see sons of Levi, but there are names we don't hear as much about. There's a study we've already done in Exodus when we're looking at the instructions that it gave about these coverings that was over the tabernacle proper and the various aspects of the coverings. That was a ministry in and of itself. We see these names of 4 and verse 4 of Numbers. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath. And we see him. And then verse 21 down, there was Gershon who bore it. You see, Kohath had the ministry of coverings. Gershon bore it. And in verse 29 on, we see Merar, they bore it as well. And so here are more names of ones behind the scenes involved in the coverings and the moving and such of these aspects of the tabernacle. It's interesting to think about how there are times in the scripture that talks about how despise not the small things. And don't look at the things that seem small to us and say, oh, it's not important. You know, Lucifer despised his role. He was this beautiful cherub. He was this one who had, it talks about music and coverings and things that was part of his role. But he ended up saying, I'll be like the Most High God. The role that God had for him wasn't good enough for him, as he thought. And pride lifted him up. And so may we be careful not to look at things and look down upon the areas of what the Lord has given us to do. What might be small to some people, to the world, is a big deal to the Lord. We are to follow what the Lord has instructed us to do, sharing the gospel, living holy lives, and gathering with the Lord and His people. These things are big things in the sight of God. May we be faithful in these things. May we